Welcome to the Matthew Carroll Podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm guest Spencer Roeder.
What is going on, Spencer Roeder?
Not much, man. I just got back from Atlanta, from IKEA specifically, and unpacked, and pretty much went straight from that to sitting down here.
So, nice. Did you guys go to Atlanta just to go to IKEA?
No, we were vacationing at a lake at Red Top Mountain State Park in a cabin, and on the way home decided to go to IKEA, and so we spent a good bit of today in IKEA. That's the only reason we stopped in Atlanta, but we were already going through it.
Okay, cool. Well, this is our first episode doing this kind of regularly. We did those first three episodes all at once, and so this is our kind of our first, like, you know, attempt at doing one of these regularly. I'd love to add some interests. What are you listening to right now, Spencer? You got any new songs you're liking?
What am I listening to?
You got a new song you're like? Anything in the world? Okay, it doesn't even have to be new. Just anything you're liking right now.
I'm trying to think of anything really new. I'll have to look at my phone real quick to see what I've been listening to.
Well, I'm adding a new segment to the show right now. Like, let's just do that.
So that everybody knows, it's not that I didn't prepare for this. I've been blindsided.
Yeah, I completely just thought of this on the spot, but I thought it'd be kind of a cool thing. I'm trying myself, especially, you know, as an artist and as a musician, to invest time in learning about new music that I don't listen to already, so that I'm not stagnant, so that things keep coming into my purview or whatever. And so I've just been recently really trying to expand my listening, and I thought maybe this could be a good motivation to do that, is to have something to tell the audience what I've been listening to lately. I'll go first. There's a song called "Private Fears in Public Places" by a band called Front Porch Step, and it is everything that 18-year-old Matt Carroll would have really loved. It's like dashboardy, but it's like,
sounds
it's dashboardy, and it's super like self-deprecating and and super codependent sounding. It's like not like from a perspective of a 34-year-old man looking at it, I'm like, this is not really a healthy relationship, but it like harkens to that romantic sort of notion of what I thought love was when I was 18, you know. I don't know. It's good. It's good. Front Porch Steps, name of the band. Public Fears in Private Places. It's got lines like, "I'd rather fight with you than laugh with another. I'd rather be cold in your arms than be warm under covers." It's just like, it just sounds kind of codependent from my like perch. As a 34-year-old man, but it's so passionate. The song is so passionate that it like makes me sort of long for the days of like that sort of codependence.
And that nostalgic.
Yeah,
codependence.
It made me nostalgic for codependence. Which wasn't a bad experience. It made me like sort of really the passion really did get to me. And I was in the car with a bunch of my bandmates, you know, driving, listening to this. And it's funny because they all have very different styles of music, and most of them like more complicated stuff. But this is just a guy with acoustic guitar. But all of them have texted me like, "What was the name of that song? That song's in my head." So I don't know. Just dug it. Thought I'd share. So what do you listen to?
I did find that I've been listening. Well, it's a little complicated because I've been working on a mixtape idea for my wife that has made me just search for a lot of things and listen to a lot of random things. And so I'm not going to report on that because although I know she's not listening, somebody else might. And, you know, anyway, so when I was regularly listening, I guess one of the things I was listening to recently is the Decemberists put out a new album. And it's kind of interesting because they have like some electronic type stuff in there.
Interesting.
This time.
That's not very Decemberist.
It's just
them.
No, and it's very I don't know, it's interesting. They have a song called "Severed," which I think is one of their more like their single or whatever. And so it's got like this electronic beat type thing, and then it's got some guitars that are also not very Decemberisty, but also to me don't completely go with the beat. I mean, they sound good with it, but they don't sound completely of of the era, and then his voice is the same as it ever was, so it really just feels like it should be over an acoustic guitar and like a harpsichord or something.
I respect that they're trying something different. I mean, they've been around a long time, and I feel like their fans are probably stuck in their ways of what they like from that band, and so it's cool that they're trying something different.
I mean, I do like that song in particular. I've listened to the rest of the album to some degree, but I can't remember everything about it. I know that I like that song.
So, what's it called? Severed by the Decemberists. Okay, I'm gonna check it out. Yeah. And you know what I might do? I might start a Spotify playlist where I just put the two songs that we bring each week, and then we just like expand that playlist. It could be like the two songs that we brought, and then the song from this week's podcast, and we'll just start a playlist, and people can follow it. I'll have the details on that playlist next week. That sounds like a
sounds
fun
good.
Idea. It'll be like a it'll be like a three-layered stratification of where we can like uncover what we were listening to the last however many weeks. I like this. I'm excited.
I just need to start listening to more things so I actually have something
to report. We're always wanting to do that anyway. I figured you'd be up for the challenge. And it doesn't have to be new. It can be whatever, whatever you're listening to. I just think that's kind of a fun thing we can bring to this podcast. That is not so self-centric. and kind of to give people a taste of what we do, what we like, other than just, hey, this is my album. Let's promote it. But that's actually interesting. You're talking about the electronic nature of that song. That's actually something that I miss doing on this album, mostly because I don't know anyone that does it, and I didn't feel comfortable delving into electronica music. But I do listen to a lot of stuff with electronic elements, and I love pop music that has a lot of those electronic elements. I love listening to Ed Sheeran and Taylor Swift and stuff, even that far, but even less, like stuff like MGMT and stuff with just like cool keyboard elements,
You mean that one good album by MGMT?
Probably, because I really mean just Kids. That's really what I mean. just like there's a lot of, I like a lot of hip hop. I like a lot of pop. I like a lot of indie pop. I love the Postal Service, is one of my favorite bands. Again, a one album thing. I just love electronic elements. And when I was making this album, it's actually something that I considered heavily trying to incorporate some electronic elements. And my main reason for considering it, even though it wasn't something I'm into right now, or like it's not something that I naturally do, and I don't really have a lot of people in my life that do it. One of the main reasons is I was thinking, if people love this album, and then I make a future album and decide to incorporate electronic elements, people are going to be like, oh, he got weird with that one. And it's like, no, I've always loved that stuff. Yeah. It's just I didn't know how to do it yet, I figure maybe one day I'll meet a DJ or something that's like, oh, yeah, I'll make your beats.
I think it's called a producer, right?
Oh, it depends. Some bands have literally a DJ on stage that like does – they're like – mixing records and mixing all kinds of weird sounds and stuff.
See, I always associate that with, which I guess is sort of appropriate, but I associate that with the mid-90s. Like, I'm sure that happens more than I'm thinking, but when I imagine that, I think of, like, Limp Bizkit.
Right. Less with the scratching and stuff.
Oh, gosh. But. There was some other band that
Linkin Park, maybe. I don't know.
Linkin Park, even I'm gonna completely blank on their name, but there was a few of them that did it in that same time.
There's a
period.
Lot of bands that have sort of a keyboard / DJ / electronic sounds guy. And they have like a rock band, and he's kind of providing the backbeat, sort of. I don't have a problem with that stuff at all. I just did not have the resources to build any of that stuff when I was working on this album. And not that any of these songs, there was no song that I was like, that one has to have that electronic element. So maybe it's good that I didn't try to force it, but it is something that I was kind of sad that I didn't get to do with this album. This song, though, today's topic is the song Backup Man, which is the third song on the album. And it actually pushes a different sort of stylistic button that wasn't on the album very much, which is this sort of blues element that actually came from a really interesting place. I'm not much of a blues guy, really. Like, I haven't ever listened to a ton of blues. And this song came from a very bluesy place. And I think most of that is just from people that I play with in Birmingham, Alabama. Like, a lot of the blues influence that came into this album, there's two songs. There's this one, Backup Man, and then there's another song that's got a bluesy bent, which is Her Moves, which we'll get to.
I almost think of that as more funk.
No, kind of absolutely.
Feel. And I think it's the influence thing is it's kind of a similar amount to the influence that, like, you know, not in the same direction, but like the White Stripes have blues influence, but it's not like they're not blues music.
Right. It's still a pop song.
An important distinction.
It's still a pop song.
It's an important distinction because my dad, who's a very big blues person, I don't think would have described this song as bluesy.
Right. It depends on what kind of blues you mean. And it's definitely like a pop blues, a modern pop blues sort of thing. It just has, I can't describe those guitars as anything but bluesy though. That's one thing. This guitar, this song is heavily featured, featuring Will Cash on guitar. And he is killing it with this very blues guitar. And that blues guitar comes from the fact that the chords are all major sevens, which is a blues thing. They're all major sevens they're all dominant sevens, I should say. Not major sevens, dominant sevens, which is a blues thing that is very common, like bands like G Love and things like that this song just kind of reminds me of. And I don't know, it's just interesting that it came from a place of, it came naturally from what I was writing, but I think the influences came directly from people that I play with, like Will Cash, Josh Jordan, who's another one of my guitarists and bass players that plays with me all the time. They've, like, over the years, just, we've played a lot of music together, and when we're just jamming, a lot of this just came from natural jamming with other musicians, you know? I think, so this song in particular has a lot of, like, that flavor that's just dripping of Birmingham to me.
Well, and there was a couple of them that didn't make the album that were also in that direction.
Yeah, absolutely. And I didn't want to put too much. Like, I didn't, because that's not, I don't consider it as me as something like Next One on Her List, which we did 2 weeks ago or whatever. That feels like me. That feels very much in my wheelhouse. And I wanted the album to be more that way, but I didn't want to leave this out because it is an element of what I'm writing right now and what I'm doing, you know?
Oh, interestingly, this song, Backup Man. Well, for one, you have Next One on Our List and She Just Wants Me for My Body before this that are both in a similar place. And so this song kind of like hits you a little bit when you get to it. And partially also because it's got horns.
Yeah.
Which kind of opens up, you know, adds more complexity to it. But also, originally, this was going to be your lead-off song at one point, anyway. That I thought was interesting.
I think you might be getting that one confused.
That you were going to have this be the first.
Backup. No, I'm sorry. Baby's Gone, actually, was the lead-off song for a really long time.
That one was, and then this one was for a short period of time.
You may be right.
Maybe you don't even remember.
You probably have a better memory for it than I do. I actually don't remember that. That's funny.
I remember counseling you against it. That's the reason, just because it was so different than the other ones.
That's true. We had a lot of conversations where we were jockeying around the position. Spencer really was a huge part of the creative process on this album, just being a sounding board and giving me advice. And this song was definitely, I think it's one of the poppier tunes, and it's one that I play live, and I play it one time, and people are already singing along by the end of it.
Yeah, I remember before you even recorded, you were saying people were having a good reaction to
it. It's not stylistically appropriate, and it wasn't the song I wanted to put out as a first single. I didn't want to start the album with it, but I love the song, and I wanted to include it, and I think it has potential to be a single later, but I didn't want it to be, like, the first thing I did. So, I keep thinking that I should do some sort of video for it or something, because it has that potential, I think. It just catches people's ears on the first listen. You know, it has that real easy to sing along with hook.
Yeah. And I think also we discussed how, and you didn't do it purposefully necessarily, but has been recently a decent number of that style of music that has become popular.
Oh, yeah. Well, particularly.
So it's also kind of like, oh, you know, like this could be a single. It just wouldn't be very representational of what the rest of the album is.
Right.
So it'd be kind of a weird fit for a single.
Well, interestingly.
But it still had that potential for.
Specifically, what I was talking about when we had that conversation was there's a good bit of stuff coming out of Alabama right now that has sort of a throwback feel. And I think Alabama specifically is getting sort of this like reputation for producing sort of older style music. Even the bands I have in particular in mind are St. Paul and the Broken Bones. They're they've gone national now and they're doing really well. They're from right here in Birmingham. You have the Alabama Shakes, which also produce sort of a throwback sort of feeling music. Even and this is a little bit, maybe this is a bit of a stretch, but even someone like Taylor Hicks, which I mean, I not that he made it on his own, he did the whole American Idol thing, but he's still an Alabama Birmingham person who's known.
And Jason Isbell, too.
Oh, yeah, and Jason Isbell's very old school. It sounds almost, his country almost sounds Motown, which is.
Well, he's from Muscle Shoals, where they did a lot of country-ish, Motown-y stuff.
And so that's all. So that's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of Alabama-specific people that are kind of breaking out right now have that sort of older, bluesier R&B Motowny vibe, and I think this song sort of fits that more than others on this album anyway. So yeah, I do think eventually it'll probably be a single. But yeah, so this song, what is it about? It's a true story, I recently told the girl that it was about her, and she listened to it and was like, what do you mean? How is that about
me? That's very flattering.
Well, it's the funny thing is, like, she's like, we never had a thing. Like, there was no, and that's actually the point of the song, is it's a really funny story. She came to me and she was like, talking about me liking her or something. Somehow just like in conversation, we're having this conversation. We're real close friends at the time. We're just friends. And she said, she's a pretty girl, you know, and she said something that just sort of assumed that I wanted to date her. Mm-hmm. Like this very like broad statement. I can't remember what the statement was, but it was something that just assumed, the assumption was that I wanted to date her. And I was like, oh, no, I don't want to date you. And she was like, what? And I was like, the truth is, like, you're also still really into your ex, and you guys still have like super complicated like relationship things going on that I don't need to get in the middle of. And like I don't know what you want from me, but like, and it was just funny that she acted so offended at the idea that I didn't want to be with her. And I was like, but you have no, you don't like me in any way, right? Like, why are you offended at this?
Like, right.
This shouldn't be offensive. And it just felt like this sort of, I had this realization that, you know what? I think she kind of likes me around because I'm this sort of like, maybe she thought I was a romantic interest, even though she didn't want to be with me. It was like this sort of, I have him there. He's at least there in the background in case everything falls apart with this guy that I like. I guess I have Matt on the back burner. And so that's where the song came from. She listened to it and she was like, we never had a thing. I don't understand what. It was real funny. She's like, I don't really get it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing about some stuff like that. It doesn't necessarily even come to mind for the other person. It's just artists can be a little neurotic and just kind of read into things. Plus, it's just seems kind of offensive, even though it's not, anytime that anybody would be like, no, I wouldn't want to date you.
Yeah, and no, totally.
My natural reaction would always be, wait a minute, why not?
Yeah, why not?
We would be horrible for each other, and I have no interest in you, but wait a minute, I'm kind of, I'm set aback that you said I'm not an option.
Totally, totally. One of my best friends in high school is the first person I knew that was gay. He wasn't even gay, he was bisexual. And he's the first person I knew, and he came to me and told me he was bisexual. He told me and a friend, we're in the car, he's sitting in the back seat, and he tells me and a buddy that he's bisexual. And my buddy goes, well, are you like attracted to us, to either of us? And he was like, no, not at all. And we both just started acting offended. We're like, yeah. Oh, well, what's wrong with us? And it was just a funny, like, there was never like an issue between us or anything, you know, like, I'm sure it was nerve wracking coming out to a bunch of kids in Alabama. And so the fact that we all just made it a joke and we were like, you don't like us. It just like made it very normal and made him feel safe, I guess. This was good.
Yeah, Matt passes it off as a joke now, but he was pretty offended at the time.
So hurt that he wasn't attracted to me.
That guy actually wrote a very similar song.
But anyway, so this is Backup Man. Let's see, any other things we should talk about Backup Man before you just play it? It's bluesy, it's got some horns, got some female vocals in there, which was really cool.
I guess one thing that, as we've talked about before, I got the privilege of hearing a lot of this stuff as it was being done. And one of the things that threw me off, and in a good way, the first time I heard the album version, I think it was when I first heard the iTunes version, that originally the horns didn't come in till maybe not midway through, but one-third of the way into the song or something.
Oh, well, that's not...
Maybe the first chorus, but then once it came into the real version, right, we'll call it, it comes in within the first few bars just for a second to say, like, hey, just a hint here. This is what kind of song this is.
Yeah, you can expect a few horns in this song. And that actually is really interesting. We played with horn arrangements on this song a lot. And one of the things that I ended up doing was moving, originally, the actual original horn arrangement, when I hired the guy to write the horn arrangement, the horns actually came in immediately. And it really threw me. We recorded it the way he wrote it, and I was like, I just can't. Because I really liked the intro of the song. I liked the, which it's actually really interesting. The intro to the song is boom da dun dun, boom da dun dun, boom da dun dun, boom da dun dun. Like, that's the sort of boom dun dun dun, boom dun dun dun. It's an arpeggio, but what's cool about it is the bass plays the first note, and then the guitar plays the next three notes. So it's actually an arpeggio being played by the band, and it's really actually a difficult guitar part, because you have to come in on a really awkward 16th note, but it sounds really cool, and when the band does it really tight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so
I love that
intro, and I didn't want to lose that intro. And so originally, when we first started, when he first wrote a horn arrangement for it, it actually started out, ba-ba-ba-da-da-ba-da, like... from the very beginning, without ever having that sort of exposed moment for that arpeggio to happen. And I actually ended up moving that a few measures just so I could have that exposed moment of their arpeggios, but still introduce the horns. So there was actually a lot of movement with the very original arrangement was very different from what finally came. And then we even had a few, like you talked about, intermediate arrangements where I had messed with certain things and taken some parts out and put some parts in, and finally what we came out with I think works.
yeah I think so. I think it's nice to hear at the beginning, like, hey, this is what, especially after being after two very different songs.
Yeah Thank you. I'm glad that comes across, because I think that's what it ended up needing. But it was a really hard decision to make, because originally it was like horns in, horns out, and I was like, I don't like the horns from the very beginning, because I'm losing the exposed intro. And then finally I thought of, how about we just scooch those over four bars, and we we cut this, and we move that, and we change this note to this, and then, hey, now it's sounding like it was supposed to be that way. So, yeah, that's cool. I'm glad that you feel that way about it, because... I wasn't totally sure. But yeah, so this, I guess this is Backup Man. I guess that's about all I have to say about it. Except for we have some really good guitar work from Will Cash. I love the female vocals on this are really cool. We've got a Peyton Grant, a male vocalist, singing some harmonies, but we also have, Jackie Roach, actually Jackie Grant. Now they got married. Jackie Grant and Taylor Honeycutt, both of them singing on this song, and they had a really cool element of just like, I wanted when that chorus comes in, it's no, no, no. I just wanted sort of this choiry, sort of gospel-y feel, and those girls mm-hmm. really made that happen. So that's cool. And other than that, I think it's just, let's listen to it. If you guys are going to be anywhere, let's see, this week I'm in Daphne, Alabama. So if you're anywhere near Daphne, Alabama, I'm playing a Friday night at Moe's Barbecue with the band. We're going to play the album. We're going to play some a lot of original stuff as well as some covers. So if you guys are down that way, come on out. And we'll be all over the next couple months. So if you're somewhere in the Southeast, let us know, and we'll try to make it over your way, for real. We want to make it further. We've had a bunch of requests to come, like, overseas and way up north and way out west, and I want to make all that happen, but it's just it's a complicated process trying to get all this touring together and trying to make it make sense financially, because it just doesn't. the truth of it just doesn't. If you're in Daphne, not Alabama, yet. Come out Friday night. Friday the 30th, where we're going to be in Daphne, Alabama. So if you're March 30th. Other than that, check out this song. Go, if you like it, go to Spotify, go to iTunes, go to Apple Music, go to Google Play, Amazon, all those places you can get this music. And it's all the CDs and t-shirts are on sale on my website. So if you like this stuff, please go save it and share it with your friends. We're trying to get the word about this album, and I could really use all your help. If you like it, check it out and share it.
I've been thinking about the way you looked at me when I told you we could just be friends. Looked so offended, so upended. I guess you thought I wanted more from this. Yeah, we both single, but you ain't really single. You still got your heart in his hands, yeah. And I can do without the drama. I mean, what you thinking, mama? That I would be your backup plan. No, no, no. No, no, no. No, no, no. I won't be your backup man. No, no, no. No, no, no. No, no, no. I won't be your backup man. You say there's more than that here, but you ain't seeing that clear. You just reaching out for love, and I can be that for you. Be that friend who adores you, but that'll have to be enough. No, no, no. Backup man. But you know this ain't the time. Figure out just who you are and what you want then. Come give me another try. No. your backup man.